Well, greetings to you at Saltersford Church. I'm Kim Hubbard. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the full-time elders at Myton Church. I'm really sorry I can't be with you on Zoom today. I've had to record this message a week in advance, but it's a joy to share with you in this series called Best Bible Bits. I've had a look at some of the passages you've already studied, and I'm sure you've been thrilled by them, and I hope you're going to be encouraged again today. A question for you. Have you ever faced a journey with some trepidation? We probably all have. Those of us who are older, in the days before sat-nav, and yes, for you younger people, there were days before sat-nav, remember trying to find your way into a busy city. You've got to find your way to a particular building, and you're not sure how the roads connect, where the one-way streets are, you're not sure where you're going to park, the volume of traffic and so forth. And as you get near the city, you're sensing that slight anxiety. What's going to happen? Am I going to find the spot I need to? Or maybe you've been in a situation where you've been on a train journey and you know you've got to make a connection. It's critical you need to make a connection. And the window of time needed to make that connection is very small. And so for much of the journey, you're beginning to sweat a bit, particularly when you hear news that the train has been delayed by so many minutes and so forth, and you're not going to arrive until a certain point. And you wonder, what's going to happen if I miss my connection? I could be stranded somewhere for a long period of time. Or maybe you've been on a journey and you've been out in the great outdoors. Some of you, I know, love doing that. You're walking and the weather was great when you set off. But as you make your progress and you're fairly isolated now, you see the weather is changing. There are black clouds ahead and you anticipate maybe torrential rain that you're going to hit, maybe a thunderstorm even. And again, that anxiety as you see that, or certainly in a case I was in, a time when you're making a journey and the mist starts to rise and visibility is reduced considerably and you wonder whether you're going to get completely disorientated. So there are times when we make journeys and where we are apprehensive, there's a sense of foreboding. Well, why have I asked you that question? It's because today we're going to look at a passage of scripture that describes, relates to a journey by foot through some difficult terrain. And I guess many of you will love the Psalms, perhaps you have favourite Psalms. I love Psalm 121, I have to say. And I'm going to be reading that for you now. We're going to be looking at Psalm 121. Turn in your Bibles and I will read it. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Well, I think that this psalm is anticipating a journey. And let's just look for a moment at some of the potential hazards of the journey that are envisaged here. Look at verse 3. There's a reference to the foot slipping, how easy that is when you're walking in the wild country. You may slip on some scree, some small bits of rock, or by inattention you may fall and injure yourself. I remember a trek in Nepal some years ago in the foothills of the Annapurna range. If Jane Hagrin's there this morning, Jane will remember this. We were on the same team. We'd gone out to Pokhara, to the church, Nargaon Church, and afterwards had this short trek. And very conscious of some difficult terrain. The pathway was really steep and exhausting. And well, there's the problem of treacherous pathways, but also the psalmist, I think, alludes to extremes of temperature as well. So in verse 6, it talks about the dangers of sun and moon. Now we can I'm sure we can relate to the idea of the sun being a danger, the blazing heat bringing about dehydration or sunstroke. But what about this reference to the moon? Well, it was generally believed then that exposure to the intense rays of the moon could bring about madness. And in fact, that belief is found even in our word lunatic, if you think about it. So there's the danger of the footpath, there's the extremes of temperature, and then there are other hidden dangers. I think that's alluded to in verse 7, where it talks about all harm. There are things that are unforeseen. There may be wild animals out there, or maybe bandits lurking. What the psalmist does in this psalm, in anticipating this, is they remind themselves of God. That's the key thing, is it to remind themselves of what God is like. He is both a helper in verses 1 to 2 and a protector in verses 3 to 8. Well, before we dig just a bit more into that, let's think a bit more about the context of the psalm. So I've said, I think the context is clear. The initial author, and we don't know anything about them at all, was anticipating a particular journey. However, I don't know if you noticed as we turn to this passage, underneath the Psalm 121 in your Bible, there'll be a heading there in italics, a song of ascents. Now, what's that about? Well, in fact, that title is given to 15 psalms, Psalm 120 through to Psalm 134, that block. And it's generally believed that those psalms, those 15 psalms, were used by pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem for one of the three annual festivals, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. So the psalm was written by someone we don't know for a particular context, but it was later, as all the psalms were brought together and collected, there's this little block that were then used by following people, God's people, for their journeyings to Jerusalem. Now for us, that helps us to perhaps understand how it relates to us today. Although written so long ago, these psalms were used as reassurance on a journey to Jerusalem. Now we as Christian believers aren't on a journey to a particular city or like that, like Jerusalem, but we are on our way to what the Bible describes as the new Jerusalem, our home in the new creation. We are pilgrims to the celestial city, to use John Bunyan's phrase in Pilgrim's Progress. This is a great psalm for Christian pilgrims, Christian believers. And of course, by Christians, I ought to explain what I'm talking about. I'm not sure if you're a Christian. I know many of you are, but what we mean is someone who's entrusted their life to Jesus Christ. They've seen in his cross, the dying on the cross, that he died in our place for our sins. And we entrust our lives to that reality. We receive Jesus to be our saviour, our rescuer and our king. But for those of us who are in that position, we are pilgrim people. And we've been set off on that journey. It's a long journey through life. And that our journey too is filled with all sorts of hazards and spiritual dangers. Some of you indeed might be concerned. You may have been on the journey a while and you wonder whether you're ever going to make it. You know, there's your own weakness, there's external pressures and so forth. Will I actually make it through? I think this psalm gives us great reassurance. We, like the psalmist, need to remember the character of God, helper, protector. Let's look at each of those in turn, just for a minute or two. First, God our helper. Verses 1 and 2, let me read again. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, imagine this scenario. You're a keen sports person, and in the course of a game, you stumble, you fall, you twist awkwardly, you're in pain, you're not sure whether it's muscle or tendon, you ache, and even some days later, you're still in a huge amount of discomfort. Now, a well-meaning friend comes to you and says, hey, you know, I've been looking on the internet, And I've seen there's all sorts of exercises you can do. And I'm going to suggest maybe you do this stretch or this particular exercise. Now, are you going to entrust yourself to someone like that? Or would you consider talking to someone like Susanna Salt, who, of course, is an expert in this whole area of sports injuries? Imagine, I don't know any of you younger people, whether you've had to do for part of perhaps your music course, if you're doing music, you've had to write a particular piece of music. Maybe you have to write the score and so forth. And you're stuck. You're really struggling. You think, what do I do? And a friend comes around and says, oh, I can help you with that. I can help you with that. And you ask them and say, well, do you understand music? Can you read music? No. Have you ever written any music? No. But I love music. I can hum a tune. I'm sure we can get somewhere. Well, that's somewhat different from maybe an offer of help by Roger Hagreen, isn't it? Roger, who's proficient in playing music, he's written music, he understands composition, he understands harmony. That would be an offer of help, which is much more meaningful, wouldn't it? You see, when we receive an offer of help, we need to know the credentials of the person offering that help to know whether it's going to be of any use or not. Well, did you notice in the verse I've just read what God's credentials are as helper? Have another look. What does it say? God is the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Unbelievable, isn't it? Breathtaking. Little me in all my vulnerabilities and weakness. God is committed to helping me. He's a God who made everything. At Mighton Church at the moment, we're working through Genesis chapters 1 to 3. And we spent some weeks in chapter 1 when we thought about God's power and his wisdom in making the universe, just speaking, and things came to be. The vastness of it, the innumerable stars and so forth, the wonders of the created world. God, the maker of heaven and earth, is the very one who the psalmist says is my helper. Wow, what credentials! Amazing. What more could you need? And I think that brings us great reassurance as we journey, doesn't it? God our helper. Not only God our helper, but secondly, God our protector. Verses 3 to 8. I wonder if you noticed a particular word cropping up over and over again as we read through the psalm at the start. Let me highlight it for you. Look out. Let's look at this word. Verse 3. He who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over you. Verse 4. He who watches over Israel. Verse 5. The Lord watches over you. And then in verse 7, that word in the original is used twice more. If you've got the New International Version, you'll see that it's translated differently. So in the first part of verse 7, the Lord will keep you. Second, he will watch over your life. But it's the same word in both cases. And then in verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going. Now, you can't miss the drumbeat, can you? God watching over us. Some of you, I'm sure, have had a teaching experience. Maybe you're still a teacher. Difficult days for you, I know. But you will know the importance of repetition. To make something memorable, you keep repeating it, keep repeating it. And here in this psalm, God watching over his people, watching, watching, watching. Not just us individually, incidentally, but also corporately, collectively. It says here that God is the one who watches over Israel. That is the people of God together. But there are two aspects of this protection now I just want to highlight. And incidentally, when it talks about God watching over us, we may think of it, that sounds fairly passive, just observing. No, it's more than just observation. It's actually protection, being guarded as well. That's captured in the word that's used here. So God protects us first at all times, verses 3 and 4. At all times. I remember not so long ago, I was making a journey back from Birmingham. I think I'd probably been shopping, can't be certain, but so I arrive at New Street and I catch the train back to Leamington, and I get on the train, and it's getting dark outside. The light is falling. It's warm in the carriage, muggy, crowded. And you know what happens, don't you? After you've had a long day, maybe shopping in Birmingham, you start to nod off on the train and you start to slump. And the next thing, you're jolted awake. The train has stopped and you're in Solihull railway station. Whoa. But still some way to go. So I confess I did this. I drifted off into sleep again. And the next thing I knew, we were at Warwick Parkway. And I'm thinking, well, I have to be careful now because I've got to get off the train in a moment. You can anticipate what's coming, can't you? Next thing, I'm in, well, I'm literally here coming over the announcement, the intercom. Next station, Banbury. I'm thinking, whoa. And I'm hearing that bleeping noise, which says the doors are closing. And I just wake and sort of look up to see Leamington Station drifting off behind me. And I'm heading now to Banbury. And need to say, that's where I ended up, at Banbury Railway Station. Thankfully, the staff there were very understanding. I'm sure this happens regularly. And I was able to catch the next train back and it didn't cost me any more money. So that was great. But cost me a lot of time, I hasten to add. But exhaustion can be a peril when you're on a journey. Those of us who may drive regularly on motorways, again, that sense sometimes of drowsiness, there's huge danger involved. The danger of slipping because of a momentary inattention, certainly for the psalmist. Isn't it reassuring then to know that the one who is watching over us never is inattentive, never found daydreaming, never loses concentration, never caught off guard? Some of you will know the story that's there in 1 Kings 18, the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. There's a contest being set up. Don't worry if you don't know the story. You can find it in 1 Kings 18. But essentially, Elijah is teasing the prophets of Baal because they're shouting for Baal to send down fire to consume their offering. Nothing is happening. And Elijah says, well, perhaps Baal is deep in thought or busy or travelling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. Still nothing happens. Of course, then Elijah prays. Single, short prayer to heaven. And immediately God answers by fire. Because the God of Elijah doesn't go to sleep. Our God does not go to sleep. He doesn't slumber or sleep. How reassuring is that? God's watchfulness, his protection of us at all times, but also in all circumstances, verses 5 to 8. And the comprehensiveness of that is brought out by three pairs of words. Did you see them? Look again at verses 5 to 8. Look first at verse 6, and we see there it talks about the sun in the daytime and the moon at night. So day and night. And then if you drop down to verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going. Literally, it's going out and coming in is actually what the literal says. The idea of the start and the end of each day. And then in verse 8, right at the end there, this watchfulness of God both now and forever. So do you see those three pairs of words describing the comprehensiveness of God's care of us? Day, night. Coming, going, now and forevermore. Wow. What reassurance for us then on our journey. In every circumstance of life, you are with me, glorious Father. Now this psalm is not promising us a trouble-free life. That's not what it's about. There are dangers. There are anxieties. There are difficulties. But what the psalm is doing is assuring us of God's commitment to bring us safely through this life and our spiritual journey to our ultimate destination, that celestial city, that new Jerusalem, that amazing new creation which we're destined for. Am I going to make it, you might say? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. The words of John Newton in his great hymn, Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Yes, we'll make it. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion, says the Apostle Paul. And so I think in this best Bible bit, again, we have real assurance in our course through life. I have to say again, this psalm was a great blessing to me when I first graduated. I set time aside, a day aside, to fast and to pray and seek God. I had no idea what I was going to do for a job, where I was going to live and so forth. And of course, we all love God to, would love God at those points to write in the sky what we're to do. But at some point, and I don't know why, but at some point I turned to Psalm 121. And as I heard that drumbeat in the version I was reading, an older version, I will keep you, I will keep you, I will keep you. What a great blessing that was to me. In all the uncertainties, to have that assurance. And I trust today all of us will be comforted again by that assurance. It's a wonderful psalm. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the encouragement from Psalm 121. We want to pray especially for any today who are really struggling and uncertain as to whether they'll get through this life safely brought into your eternal kingdom, that new creation. We pray for them specifically that they will sense again comfort from your word as your Holy Spirit impresses it upon their hearts and minds. But for all of us, Lord, may we be confident as we journey through this life, even in uncertain times like coronavirus now, that we will reach our final destiny because you are the God who helps your people and who watches over your people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.